Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
Don't think that Darwinism is relegated to science class. Heather Zeiger examines how it saturates all of society, now on Probe.
Every worldview addresses the question, where do we come from? The Christian worldview says that we are a special part of creation, made in the image of God. A materialistic worldview says that we are the product of natural selection and random mutations acting on organisms. The Christian view of origins is called creation. The materialistic view of origins is called Darwinism. Creationism is based on faith in the creative work of God of the Bible, while Darwinism is based on faith in the creative work of natural selection. Oftentimes, worldviews are used to explain the scientific evidence. However, there's a problem when someone confuses the worldview with the evidence, and some worldviews explain the evidence better than others. So, does your view of origins affect other areas of life than just science? Well, yes, these two views of origins have a profound impact on how we value people and how we view personhood and personal responsibility. This week, we will be looking at how the materialistic worldview has trickled down into many areas of society that affect us today. One of our resources will be John West's book, Darwin Day in America. He argues that the logical end of a materialistic worldview leaves nothing for an ethical standard other than to survive. The materialistic worldview says that non-living chemicals came together to make genetic material, which then made an organism, and that organism evolved until we get human beings. So they would say man is made from chemicals and is no more valuable than any other animal. The logical end to this perspective is that everything a man does is a result of his genes and his environment, so he essentially has no choices or free will of his own. His actions are the results of natural selection acting on him. This has huge consequences for how we deal with crime, personhood, the embryo, the infirmed, and education. John West says Darwin helped spark an intellectual revolution that sought to apply materialism to nearly every area of human endeavor. This new, thoroughly quote-unquote scientific materialism affected the entire span of culture, from economics and politics to education and the arts. Darwin published Origin of Species 150 years ago, but it is in the mid-20th century that we begin to see how his theory trickled down into society.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Heather Zeiger. To get your free copy of Heather's transcript, The Effect of Origins on Society, visit us online at probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. And then join us next time as we shine God's truth into this culture of deception, here on Probe.
Does one's view of origins affect other areas of society? Today we will look at how a Darwinian view of man has changed our criminal justice system. How are the courts and science related? Well, in our culture, the scientists are the holders of truth and the courts are the arbiters of law. And while the idea that law coincides with truth is good and even biblical, the idea that scientists and only scientists are the ones who dictate truth is a dangerous position. If the pervading worldview in science is materialism, then a materialistic view of man is reflected in our courts. From a materialistic worldview, man is the product of his genes and his environment, with no real ability to act differently than what his genes and environment would have him do. If this is the case, then how can he be held responsible for his crimes? Why not just blame bad genes or a bad home life? John West, in his book Darwin Day in America, describes the crux of the problem. In order to provide protection and have an orderly society, the criminal justice system needs to punish wrong behavior. But from a materialistic worldview, there is no moral foundation for individual responsibility. They would say, it's not their fault, it's just their genes, or it was how they were raised. What is even more disturbing is that this view of man makes it seem plausible that science can fix this criminal behavior. What we find is a history of some criminals getting off in the name of very loose definitions of insanity, and other criminals being permanently institutionalized and coerced into taking drugs and undergoing treatments like guinea pigs. Both diminish the value and dignity of the individual as a person. The Christian view of man is that while our genetics or our environment may mean that we have different struggles or temptations than others, we are still made in the image of God. This means that just as God treats us with dignity by exacting punishment for our actions, so too do we treat people with inherent dignity by exacting punishment and allowing for atonement. The Darwinian view says that we are not responsible because we are a product of our genes, but it also says that we are not redeemable because we will remain flawed. Our entire criminal justice system is based on the idea that man can be held accountable for his crimes, that he has a choice in what he does. This system crumbles under a materialistic worldview. Tomorrow we will look at how the eugenics movement came out of this treatment of man. We have been looking at the impact of one's view of origins on society. In particular, we've been looking at how a materialistic worldview has impacted our view of personhood. According to Darwinism, man is a product of his genes and his environment, which, taken to its logical end, has conflicting and dangerous results for exacting justice in society. Now we turn to how this view of man affects how we treat others that are different from us and how we define normal. Criminals were treated as if they were machines with broken parts. Something in their genetic code went wrong, so many were subjected to some kind of institutionalization or treatment. As John West points out in Darwin Day in America, the idea is, if science can explain the problem, then science can fix it. One way that scientists attempted to fix this problem is to try to breed out bad traits. Basically, scientists in the 30s, 40s, and 50s reasoned that bad behavior, stupidity, or emotional instability were passed down from parent to child, just like physical traits. So the only way to cleanse our society of these ailments is to sterilize people with these traits so that they will not pass them on to their children. This was the basis of what became known as the eugenics movement. At first, it was only criminals who were sterilized. Then the mentally handicapped were sterilized. Then those who were deemed less intelligent or unproductive in society. In hindsight, it is easy to see how this slippery slope happened. One group changes the standards by which we value other groups. Their value is no longer based on God's perspective, but on man's perspective over other men, a very Darwinian concept of survival of the fittest. We saw the logical end of the eugenics movement played out in Nazi Germany. Now, I'm not saying that Darwinism is the cause for Nazi Germany, but I am saying that eugenics is based on a Darwinian view of man. It is an important picture of how one can promote their worldview in the name of science. The materialistic worldview, and in particular a Darwinian view of man, allows for race discrimination and even genocide. Today, this attitude is seen when doctors, lawyers, and family members evaluate individuals based on their physical abilities and cost to society. Judging others unworthy of life based on physical features or capabilities ignores the inherent value God has given man as being made in his image. We have looked at how a society that promotes a materialistic worldview results in a degraded view of personhood. This degraded view includes basing a person's value on how well they physically function and how much they cost society. However, from a Christian view, humans were created with a purpose and in the image of God. They have inherent value beyond their physical bodies. How does a Darwinian view of man's origin affect the way we look at the most vulnerable in society, the embryo, the aged, or the infirmed? John West's Darwin Day in America traces a historical record of the legalization of abortion. It also shows why we have the debate about embryonic stem cell research today. Darwinism is not the cause of the legalization of abortion and destruction of embryos, but it did give people a way to argue for it. It began with a scientist named Haeckel who influenced Darwin. Haeckel discussed how all embryos go through stages of development and how the earliest stages look very similar to each other. In his famous drawings, he shows how a human embryo goes from a small fish-like creature that looks similar to other animal embryos to a human-looking embryo. He said that the fetus goes through a mini version of its evolutionary development. What conclusions were drawn from this? Well, if the fetus is no more than a fish, then it is as ethical to discard it as it would be to discard a fish. The only problem with this idea is that it is now well documented that Haeckel's drawings were faked. Despite this finding, people still latched onto the concept and refused to accept that the fetus does not go through evolutionary stages. This same argument is used to justify embryonic stem cell research. The embryos don't look human, they're a clump of cells. This is another case of placing a value on a person based on their physical functions. Today, we not only see this idea played out in the unborn, but also in the elderly and the infirmed. Many family members and doctors elect to end someone's life because they have deemed them less valuable. Again, the basis of this is on how well they physically function. One group is putting value on another group. Both of these examples demonstrate how our culture has bought into a materialistic worldview, which devalues the person that does not have certain physical characteristics. As Christians, we value human life and believe that the embryo, the aged, and the infirm have inherent dignity despite how they might look. We've been looking at how a Darwinian view of man has had a profound impact on our society. We have seen how it has led to a slow and steady dehumanization of man, to one who is at the mercy of his genes and environment, and to some people even being deemed unworthy of life. How has a Darwinian view of man influenced how we educate our children? A Darwinian view says that there is no absolute authority. There is merely survival of the fittest. And in academics, that means teaching based on what works, not what is right. What we are not going to discuss is evolution curriculum or school boards or courts. I think these are important issues, but I'm going to get a little more fundamental than that and look at how Darwinism's influence has subtly trickled down into our educational system. One of the biggest influences on our educational system, both in public and private schools, has been John Dewey. As Nancy Piercy points out in her book Total Truth, Dewey thought education should be like biological evolution, where students construct their own answers based on what works best. Piercy calls this a kind of mental adaptation to the environment. As you might guess, this leads to moral relativism. Students are not taught character, and they learn that an idea or a concept is deemed valuable if it works, not if it is right. Teachers are taught in certification classes to guide students along and help them to come up with their own moral code. Teachers are not allowed to punish students for wrongdoing because they have no moral basis to do so, but are still expected to have an orderly classroom. In some cases, teachers are not permitted to give a failing grade to a student who is genuinely failing, and also they are not permitted to give A's to good students for fear that they might not continue putting forth effort. Students are stripped of any idea of an objective standard or absolute morals, and by the time they are high school seniors, they are more educated in how to play the system than reading, writing, or arithmetic. This is the very fruit of Dewey's pragmatism, and it continues through the university level. So what we end up with is a fully indoctrinated student with a materialistic worldview. Materialism's view of origins, known as Darwinism, has profound effects on our society. As Christians, we need to be a light into the world by showing that human beings are more than their genes and their environment, that they have inherent value, and that there are moral foundations beyond survival of the fittest.